Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Coach John Cantara with you on a very difficult Monday here on 97.3 The Fan. We're going to head out right now to the SDCCU Fan Hotline, and we're very happy to have this gentleman join us today. Bill Ryder, CBS Sports HQ, NBA Insider, joins us for a few minutes. And, Bill, a very difficult day yesterday, leading into today. And yesterday when I received the news, I really didn't want to believe it, and I would imagine you were pretty much the same.
Yeah, Coach, I was in the – that's exactly right. I was at my home – actually hanging out with my 10-year-old daughter, and when the initial report came down that Kobe Bryant had died in a helicopter crash, all I could think about was the last time I saw him in person about 6-7 weeks ago, Coach, was at a Lakers game, and he walked down to the floor not far from me, and all the sort of charisma and charm and this applause washing down on him. And he had Gianna, his young daughter, with him, his 13-year-old daughter. And they just shared this amazing moment. They were both on the big screen. It was just, I remember then just thinking what a powerful father-daughter moment it was. And so the horror of Kobe's death, you know, for me, was compounded by the fact that as we found out that his daughter, Gigi, the young girl that I had seen with Kobe Bryant the last time I saw them together, had also died. It's as a father, as someone who didn't know Kobe Bryant on a personal level but covered him, as a guy that covers the NBA, as a human being, as somebody in Southern Cal, all those things, it was it's still a waking nightmare, Coach. I have to be honest, I woke up today, you know, that is, you sort of wake up, and pretty immediately I remember what had happened, and part of me thought, damn, I had sort of hoped it wasn't true.
Bill Ryder, CBS Sports HQ, NBA Insider, joining us today talking about the death of Kobe Bryant, along with his daughter Gianna and seven other people on that helicopter yesterday. Bill, you mentioned Kobe, right there at center court watching a Laker game with his daughter. It was always kind of cool when the Lakers would come on and Billy McDonald and Stu Lance had come on the air, and they'd always pan and show the different celebrities. But you know what? There was no bigger celebrity in that first row than Kobe Bryant after he retired and would come back. Didn't come all the time, but when he did, there was always a buzz at Staples.
Yeah, it's such a great point. At that game, I actually went as a fan rather than a reporter. I went with a good friend of mine who has seats right off the floor. And you said it. I mean, Jeannie Buss was five seats away, and obviously Coach LeBron James, right, was on the floor warming up, and Anthony Davis was warming up. And I can't even remember, to be honest, if it was Rihanna or Billy Crystal or whoever it was, right? There were celebrities walking around. They're showing them on the screen. And then people started to whisper. I remember it. Kobe's coming, Kobe's coming. And when he walked out of that tunnel, to the corner of the floor, there was an electric charge. I mean, you would think the president of the United States, right, or the biggest movie star on the face of the earth had just walked up to you personally, just what it felt like in the air, which is unusual, because usually when a guy is familiar to a place, and Kobe really defined Staples Center, it's exciting, but it doesn't have that electricity, right, of something new and something special. But that's the hold he had on all of us here, and certainly Lakers fans. When he was around, it was a different kind of moment, and that is the last moment I'll ever have being around that guy.
We're visiting with Bill Ryder, CBS Sports HQ, NBA Insider, nice enough to join us today on our SDCCU Fan Hotline. You know, there's so many great memories of Kobe Bryant. I mean, he was part of five NBA championship teams, but I remember the very last game he played. He went for 60 points, and I remember sitting in my chair at home watching the game, hoping once he got past 50, he got to, 57, can he get 60? And I remember knowing this was going to be the last time I ever got a chance to see him play. I actually had tears rolling down my cheeks that night.
I was lucky enough to be at that game. And you know how this is, Coach. I mean, you coach, and I've covered sports. I have been blessed to be at Super Bowls, to be at Olympics, you name the event, right? I've been lucky enough to get to cover it like Peter Pan and pretend it's a job and call it a job. That night at Staples Center was one of the most mesmerizing, magical things I've ever seen. The moment he stepped on the floor, the flurry of points, getting to 60, after the game, just the joy and the sadness of his goodbye press conference, which went on and on and on. It was more like a party of friends saying goodbye than it was a standard media moment. It was incredibly, incredibly emotional. And I can remember walking out the doors of Staples Center, you know, late at night, long after fans were gone, and walking by those famous statues and just feeling and knowing that I had seen something historic, even by the standards of those of us lucky enough to be around some pretty big sporting moments.
Hey, Bill, you were around the Lakers for a long time covering him, and you saw him as a young kid, you know, coming in at 17, 18 years of age, trying to get his footing in the NBA. You covered him when he was part of those five NBA championships. Talk a little bit about the drive and the energy and that will to never give up of Kobe Bryant that people are always talking about.
Yeah, I think that's part of one of the really interesting, there's a lot of interesting things about him, and the juxtaposition between Kobe the tender father and Kobe the heartless lone wolf assassin who would rip your soul from your chest and destroy it in order to get to the basket and just get a single bucket. I don't want to say no one, but there are few in the history of the sort of time that I've been a fan of or covering sports that I have seen someone with the will to dominate, right? Not just to win, but to destroy the competition that are on the level of Kobe Bryant. I didn't cover Michael Jordan, but as a fan of Jordan, right, that comes to mind. Tiger Woods comes to mind, and the list starts to sort of stop and start for me there. It was almost the zeal coach with which he needed to win every moment and dominate every opponent. It was almost a dangerously unhealthy obsession, right? It was a cult-like approach, and that need from the moment he was in that game to his last game is what made him not just maybe the greatest competitor, one of the two or three greatest competitors in the history of the NBA, but one of its great players. We all know it, we all saw it, right? But you can't, to see it in person, it's hard, just like the tragedy that we're dealing with today, it's hard to properly put into words how dedicated and passionate Kobe Bryant was about beating and winning and just, you know, besting the competition every chance that he got.
We're visiting with Bill Ryder, a CBS Sports HQ NBA insider who covered the Lakers for a long period of time, and Bill lives in Los Angeles. What did he mean to the city of Los Angeles and to the sports fans?
There's never been an athlete that I've been around, and I've worked in New York, L.A., Miami, Kansas City, Chicago. I mean, the list is long. I don't even think it's close, Coach. The level to which Kobe Bryant connected with mattered and defined a city. I'll tell a quick story. When I moved here for the first time, I went to the DMV, right? You know, the old get the new driver's license. And I walked into the DMV, walked into this building, and it was covered in Santa Monica. It was covered in posters of Kobe Bryant in the purple and gold. And I stopped, and it was so overwhelmingly decorated in the celebration of the Black Mamba that I thought I was in the wrong place. I thought I'd walked into some fan building or Lakers, you know, building, and I walked out. And someone's like, no, this is the DMV, man. And that was just, that is the extent to which, I mean, he was a national hero on a city scale, right? He defines in a lot of ways this town, and I'm sure folks have seen the images. I mean, people, there are tears, there is silence in L.A. There's a level of mourning that goes beyond an athlete. If you're a sports fan in Southern California and you were a Lakers fan or you were sort of following Kobe Bryant, he became so much more than a player. And with all respect to, you know, Derek Jeter in New York or whoever else you want to point to, I don't think there's an athlete in my lifetime that has had the connection to a city in the way that Kobe Bryant did.
Hey, Bill, he was such a driver. He was never going to let up. He was going to work out at, you know, 4 in the morning if he felt he needed to get a lift in or get some jump shots up. I mean, this guy was a tireless worker. How was his relationship overall, you think, through the years with his teammates?
It was tricky. I mean, I talked to, you know, I remember talking to guys who played with Kobe who didn't like him, but they loved him. If that makes sense, like during those playing years and even after. And he really softened as a father and really as a guy that retired. But he was, it wasn't, you know, Kobe wasn't really a teammate in the sense, in the natural sense. He was a boss. He was a catalyst. He was a taskmaster, and he was a competitor, even with the guys he played with. And one guy once told me that even though Kobe was hard to be around socially, there was nobody you believed in more when you walked onto the floor, right? He was he was an assassin, and you don't tend to have coffee with assassins. You just tend to want to go into battle with those guys. And yet, in the end, Coach, in the final equation, the people he battled with the most, right, Shaquille O'Neal, you know, some of the competitors like LeBron James and Dwayne Wade who broke Kobe, I think it was nose at the All-Star game many years ago at Staples Center, are the ones who loved him the most, because it wasn't just affection that was mixed into the way people who knew Kobe knew him. It was this remarkable respect and the understanding of the depth of not just his love for the game and his talent, but his desire. And in the final equation, the things that made him difficult to like for the guys that were around him made him easy to love.
Hey, Billy, a very difficult day for sports fans, really worldwide today and yesterday when we got the news. Thanks so much for the time and continued success, my friend.
Coach, yeah, it's an awful day. Thank you for having me on.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.